International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and your words to work for you and to bring about the life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host, and today I am broadcasting live with just a little touch of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. So grateful that you have joined me all over the world, and I have a powerful show in store for you today. Well, I hope that you are having a great day. You know, that is a matter of choice. And in the U.S., it is all over the world, actually, it is Easter weekend. And all of you know that I'm a Christian. So for me, it is a happy resurrection weekend. And, you know, I believe that, you know, no matter what your faith or religion is, you know that God came so that we might have abundance, we could be delivered, wholeness, and healing. And I believe that during this time, you should really resurrect your thinking, your beliefs, and your dreams. So I just hope that you really enjoy this weekend. A lot of you have been emailing me on my live coaching with Beatrice and wanted to know how she was doing. Of course, if you haven't heard that show, you need to go back and listen to it. I helped her move from a job that she had been on for 20 years all glory be to God. I was able to introduce her to a key person, and now she makes millions. And of course, I assisted her with love. But on the show last week, she was talking about how she needed to release 125 pounds. And she wanted me to let all of you know that she has released 7 pounds this week. She's been doing exactly what she committed to do. I had her to sign a commitment form, and we've been doing intensive coaching. And intensive coaching is where if a person is in a really kind of crisis place, I will actually coach with them twice a week, and then in between that email. So she's doing really well. And I received an interesting email and shared it with her. And the email said, "Constance, do you believe that since Beatrice's mother was killed at the age of 20 and her life drastically changed, that when she loses 20 pounds, that's when she self-sabotages?" And so we really delved into that, and we're taking a look at that. But she wanted to know that she feels all of your prayers and supports, and she was so courageous for coming on. My upcoming guest, wow, Minister Jazz is coming back for part two. Joe Vitale from The Secret will be coming. And Harry Carpenter, who has studied the mind and the subconscious for 60 years, will be sharing more about that. And I know that some of you emailed me and said that you had some problems listening to my show on Stitcher. But let me give you a little tip. You can always go to loaradionetwork.com. Go to the right and just click on my picture. Once you're on my show page, there are about 7 or 8 different ways that you can listen to me. Through Blueberry, through Stitcher, through TuneIn Radio, iTunes, iHeart, Blog Talk. So we have all of those little ways that you can listen. So if you ever get stuck with iTunes and it's not working, just go to my show page. All right. Well, you know, usually I talk a lot about my coaching, but today I'm going to talk a lot about my speaking. You can go to my speaking page at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and look at my clientele. I think it ranges from Fortune 500 companies to, just regular conferences. I would love to come and speak to your at your women's conference. I would love to conduct leadership training at your company. I was dealing with a large Fortune 500 company where they had downsized. And whenever you downsize, there's a lot of changing, a lot of hurt, a lot of attitudes. And so initially, I trained all of the supervisors to help them deal with their stuff. And then we brought in the staff. And basically, there was a merging and a shifting of change because change is difficult. And I personally believe that it needs to be facilitated. So, and lastly, I motivated the entire group. So it was like a 3 or 4 day process. But if you are a member on a board where you need a great speaker, I'm your girl. If you are planning a great conference or you know of a great upcoming conference, email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com and I would love to come and help make your next event a powerful and an awesome success. So, my quick tip for this week, and it's going to be really quick and it's easy. I want you to learn the balance and the process of being happy now, right where you are, while you're moving toward bold goals. A lot of people are just like, well, once I lose weight, or once I get married, or once I get that job, I hate my supervisor. No. Be happy and be grateful right now, right where you are, and from that place of happiness and joy. Because, folks, it's all about happiness and joy and gratitude and thankfulness. And the more you do that for where you are now and what you have now, making the decision, I'm not going to wait until I get my new career. I'm not going to wait until then. I am going to be happy now. That's my tip for the week. Make a decision. Look at what's great and powerful and good in your life and be happy now. So I am going to go to these quick commercials and then I'm going to be right back with my very special guest, Dr. Brian K. Graham. And we're going to be talking about think, believe, receive, 3 steps to an amazing life. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, heard by millions worldwide through 38 internet radio stations and in over 135 countries. Be sure to sign up for your monthly updates and get all the latest information on LOA radio events such as cruises, workshops, and seminars, as well as information on the latest shows, topics, and guests. Go to LOARadionetwork.com and sign up today.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
It's here, it's hot, and it's a must read. It's the science behind the Law of Attraction magazine. Every issue brings you great articles and in-depth how-tos from all your favorite Law of Attraction experts, authors, scientists, and medical professionals. Go to lawofattractionmagazine.net. That's lawofattractionmagazine.net.
Well, I am back and I'm really excited about my guest, so we're going to get right to it. My very special guest is Dr. Dr. Reverend Brian K. Graham, and he is the author of Think, Believe, and Receive, 3 Steps to an Amazing Life. And also, he's the author of It's All About Me, The Involved Observer. And I have read both of these books, and I am telling you that your life will never be the same again. And I'm going to let him just share a little more info about who he is. So, Dr. Reverend Brian K. Graham, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you so much, Constance. I can't tell you how delighted I am to be able to be with you today.
Well, I'm going to call you Brian because you have too many titles.
You know, I'm just listening to that thinking, really? Golly, it's a good thing that there's no emergency going on.
Well, you know, when you emailed me and told me about your book, I said, he has stolen my name, Think, Believe, and Manifest, because the name of your book is Think, Believe, Receive. And in your email, you said, I don't know why the two of us have not met before.
Isn't that absolutely wonderful? When things are in consciousness, they come together all over the place, not just one. So here we have two people working on exactly the same concept. Mm-hmm. And coming so close to each other's titles. I was delighted to find out that there was somebody else out there doing exactly the same thing.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about you before we get started.
A little bit about me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm out of Southern California. Right now I'm sitting in a beautiful park in La Mesa, California. I live in Oceanside. Mm-hmm. And I've been here for, oh golly, 20 some years. The time has just gone by gloriously. And I got involved in my spiritual journey just, and I found this out afterwards, because I don't like to be normal. I put that in air quotes. It's apparently part of a Buddhist tradition that a person has 3 stages in their lives. One is youth, when we are to go out and play, to explore, to find out what's going on around us. And then we move into the second phase of our life, which is being really busy making a living and raising children and doing stuff. And our third portion of life is usually dedicated to an expansion of the spirituality. And that comes about concurrently with the birth of the first grandchild. And by golly, when I read that, I said, oh, doggone, there I am being normal again. much to my chagrin, because it did coincide with the birth of our first grandchild. And I got thinking, what have I left my children to help them on their path? And I didn't feel like it was enough. It turns out that I did give them the teaching, and they are experiencing and living what I call principle, where we recognize that we create our own lives, and we attract to us that which is active in our vibration. So if we choose to live happy lives, if we choose to live life from possibility, that's exactly what we will do. So I did pass that on to them, mm-hmm. but I did feel this call to go much deeper. And that got me on the path. I got involved with the Science of Mind Center here in Vista and sat there the first couple of weeks in church thinking, I know this stuff. I know this stuff. I didn't know there was a name for it. You mean there's a book about this? You mean there's a whole library of books about this? And everything seemed to come together on that the first year. And that just set me going to work and find as much as I possibly could. And even tonight, when I finish this conversation, I'm going to go to a class with a few other ministers who get together now once a month. And we read books and discuss them, all with the goal of continuing our inward journey. It's not about the titles. The titles are fun. The inward journey continues. So that's where I am.
Well, let's talk about your first book, Think, Believe, Receive, Three Steps to an Amazing Life. So let's talk about step one, think.
Everything we think is a prayer. It's a request of the universe. I mean, we're on Law of Attraction Radio, so this shouldn't be any kind of a surprise to anybody that's listening. They're already kind of geared in that direction. So each time we think and we imbue that thought with emotion, we put into process something, a chain reaction, which will manifest in some way or another. Thinking is going on all, it's impossible not to think.
So some of the principles that you have under that whole category of thinking would be cause and effect. Explain how that works.
Cause and effect is the simplest explanation that I can give anybody who's new to this kind of thinking. When we do something, it has an effect. One of the other ways people will sometimes say is what goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely so. When we set up a situation, when we are involved in creating a situation, do an action, there is an effect. Whether the effect is exactly what we thought it would be or something even grander, that's still the same process.
You know, that's so powerful. And I think that that really shows people once again about how they have the power, that it's not outside of them, that it's on the inside of them. So if people could consciously, Brian, say, I'm going to think, feel, and believe this because I understand the law of cause and effect.
It's always happening. The whole point is what you said, is being conscious of it. Once we become conscious of our portion of that process, we become so much more powerful in creating the things that we wish to create.
So true. And you also talk about living in the power of now, now, now.
Now, now,
explain
now.
And expound that.
What other time do we have? We can keep, you know, all of, we have so many catchphrases in our lexicon that come back to these truths, but we don't necessarily look at it as a conscious way of thinking. We often hear people say, the past is gone. The future is yet to happen. It is unwritten. The only place we can work is right now. So when we are doing anything, we cannot recreate what happened yesterday. No matter how much we want to go back and seal our lips about those words that we really wish hadn't come out, we cannot do that. We can only work from where we are right now, whether we're talking a nanosecond before or years before. Trying to recreate the past is an exercise in futility. Trying to create the future, which is what we are doing anyhow. We are creating the future, but exactly how that future will manifest is not yet determined. The thought line that all of our experiences are preordained, I don't resonate with that. Mm-hmm. I know many people do, mm-hmm. and I bless them and love them for it, but the view that I have and has been very successful for me is I know I am participating in creating my future. But where am I doing that? I'm doing it right now in this moment. And that's all I have, this very moment. I dare not waste this moment because this is my moment of creation. This is my moment of power. From this moment, what comes about in the future is created.
Wow. So do you believe that thoughts create things and become things, and that thoughts impact matter and changes things in our lives?
Thoughts do all of those things that you just say. What I'm really having a good time the past couple of months with the concept of chaos. We look at chaos as being something to be avoided. Oh, everything's chaotic. What am I going to do? Chaos, in its simplest form, simply means that everything is in flux, that possibility exists in raw form. And with our thought, we shape that possibility, and it then outpictures, be it in terms of income, job, where we live, the people around us. Everything about our life comes out of that infinite pool of possibility, which is unformed, and that's where our thoughts work.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's very, very powerful. And one of really the mission of my show is to really show people that it's on the inside of them.
There is no place else to work.
Right, right. But so many of us have been working outside. Why didn't you tell me that, Brian, 20 years ago when I was doing all the work on the outside?
Because at that stage of our life, that's exactly what we are called to do. As I say, the three stages that I read about in the Buddhist tradition, that's that time of life. It is spending so much energy going out there trying to create things, trying to manipulate things, trying to hold everything together. And usually it's pretty unsuccessful.
Usually.
That once we have lived in that place for a while, then when we finally back off and say, you know what? I don't have to drive this bus. I can be a passenger on it and simply tell the driver, here's where I'd like to go. And if they make a left instead of a right, that's okay, because it's going to get us where we're going.
So true. So true. So the second step is believe. And you have so many principles under believe.
Believe, yes. Mm. Yes. We think, for instance, that we would like to win the lottery. We think, oh my gosh, there it is. It's $55 million or $520 million. I could see everything I would do with that. It'll be absolutely cool when I win it. And then we turn around and say, but it'll probably never happen.
Hmm.
So what's our real belief about that? I think I would like to have a companion who loves me as I am, who draws me forward, who supports me and loves me even if I do not meet their expectations or my expectations. But you know what? All the good ones are taken. That's our belief. So we set ourselves up for failure. What is the operative aspect here is, and this kind of dovetails into the second book, The Involved Observer, when we start looking at, well, you know what? I really thought that this is what I would be doing. That gives us an opportunity to say, but what are my beliefs about it? Do I think I can have it, but actually believe people who are like me never get it? And these beliefs are things that are adopted by us as we go through our lives quite innocuously many times. We see our parents, we see our friends, we watch television and movies, and we get cues about what actually happens. And that becomes our belief. And if the belief is not inspected, it becomes a default belief, which is not working to support us in achieving what we thought we could have or should have.
So true. So what's your take on the law of attraction? And do you believe that it's because of what people's limiting beliefs are, that things are not happening or manifesting as they desire?
The law of attraction is not a concept. It is an absolute fact of the universe. And one of the things that we can kind of fall into is only looking at the law of attraction working in our lives when things do not happen. Maybe we take the step back and say, why did I attract that flat tire on the highway or whatever it might be? We forget to look at the fact that the law of attraction is also working when we get the things we want. It's not a one-sided deal. It's actually always functioning in our life mechanically and perfectly all of the time. So that's where the gratitude thing comes in. When we see that we have participated in the creation of that thing we thought we wanted, we say thank you, because it reinforces to us that we are part of the creative process.
So true. So what's the role of expectation and believing? How does that work?
Well, where are you setting your goals? Expectations and work through us as both. It can work either way. I expect that at this point I will see this, or and maybe I'll have to change my expectation about what's going to happen. See, this is not a set it and forget it kind of experience. This is a participatory thing, easy for you to say. And we must allow ourselves, encourage ourselves to keep ourselves updated on what our expectations are and why we have that expectation. Certainly our society is filled with the expectation that a young person will grow up, get their education, get married, have children, and 2.3 kids, and live a particular life, and then retire, and have a wonderful retirement playing with the grandkids. Are they your expectations, or are they default expectations? Something that somebody else has said, this is how it's supposed to happen. Again, we're invited to examine our own lives, examine what it is, and constantly update that, because the universe is always saying yes to the demands we place in it. So it's also going to work with us to say, oh, okay, let's update that file on Brian. And Constance, you had an expectation that you would have X number of listeners. Look at what you have now and more. So we are invited to expand the expectations all of the time.
You know, I love the question that you have at the checklist that you have. Have I aligned my expectation to reflect the belief of the unlimited good of creative force in my life? I love that.
Isn't that, again, we keep going back to the invitation to look at our own thoughts, look at our own beliefs. Do they align? And if they don't, nobody comes in and says, well, I'm sorry, Constance, back here on June 5th, 1956, you, before you were born, wrote down this process. No.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't happen.
It doesn't. You know, I remember Greg Braden shared a story that he had a colleague, and this guy wanted to get married. And he must have been kind of like a kind of nerdish guy. And he said, so one morning, Greg, I think they used to ride to work together. And so Greg said, well, you know, let me go in and use the restroom before we, you know, get in the car and move on. And he said he saw little sticky notes that said, I have loved my life. I've met a wonderful girl. And he said when he got in the car, this man had little sticky notes everywhere about thank you for love and thank you for this wonderful wife. And he had them in his cubicle at work. And so Greg asked him, says, so well, are you expecting to meet someone soon? And he said, oh, he said, who would want someone boring like me?
There you go. You see, we set up the expectations, but we don't have the belief to back them up.
Right, right.
And how wonderful for that person to at least have near the level of consciousness, the idea that they recognize they're not doing it. That opens the door for possibility for the next time they think those things to actually step into the realization of it.
So let's talk about receive.
I'd like to say that's the easiest part.
It seems like it should be.
I know. I did all the work. I made my thoughts and my beliefs align. I'm constantly working on those. And then something comes along and I look at it and say, no, I don't think so. You know, I tell the story in Think, Believe, Receive about something that happened to me years ago when I was working in Los Angeles. I had a very low-paying job. I was enjoying the heck out of myself. There's no question. But of course, I wanted more money. And I was standing in line at McDonald's one day, and I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turned around, and a woman was standing there, and she handed me a $10 bill. Now, this was over an hour's salary, and it at that time would have paid for three meals anyway at McDonald's. I had been putting into creation the creative force that I wanted more money. Now, here is somebody handing me more money. Did I take it? No, because those default beliefs in me were, there's a catch. There's something else going on here. What are they all really about? Am I beholden to them? So I did not receive the bounty that the universe provided me so clearly at that moment.
Right. You know, I love it when you said, I release the urge to control how my good comes into my life, and I allow creative force to deliver perfectly on time every time.
How egotistical, how ego-based is it for us to think, okay, I'm now consciously using an unlimited power, the power that created the trees that I see, the grass that I'm walking on, the sky above me, and the planets beyond. This power created that. And we have the temerity to say, here is my desire, and here's how I want it to show up. Why do we go to that, we have to control everything, when the universe has an unlimited to the unlimited power way of having that good appear in our lives?
Wow. And what about aligning your vibration with the vibration of what you seek in your life?
Now, this becomes kind of a mental exercise. A lot of people in the science of mind work are taught early on, if you want a new car, picture that car. Now picture yourself in it. Can you feel the steering wheel? Is it leather? Is it metal? What are the seats? Are they cloth? Are they leather? What does it smell like? What's the color? Oh, what does the interior look like? Does it have a CD? Can you put in your iPod? Oh, look at it all. Feel it. Get into it. Can you see it? Can you put yourself right in that place? And they do those things. And then, now we're back to the previous thing we discussed. Yeah. They expect that exact thing to show up. But it's not about the thing. The alignment of the vibration is aligning with whatever it is that brand new car with the leather seats and the retractable roof that is fire engine red and has all of the doodads. That's about aligning with the unlimited potential, that chaos that I was speaking of earlier, that pool of potential that exists. So whatever that feeling is that we want to have, maybe the reason we really want that new car is not so that we can worry about it in the parking lot or wonder why the door gets dinged or something like that. It's recognizing that what we actually want to achieve is that feeling of, I can have anything I want. And this time, maybe it'll show up as a car.
Well, I love that. I love that. And so it's think, believe, and receive, three steps to an amazing life. You guys have got to get this book. When I received it in the mail, I emailed Brian. I had a long day that day, but I sat up and read this entire book all night. And I had red eyes the next morning, but it was so worth it. And I just love how you have the checklist at the end of
At the end of each chapter,
Yes,
yes.
that's very powerful. Well, if you're joining me, I'm speaking with Dr. Reverend Brian K. Graham, and we have been talking about Think, Believe, Receive, 3 Steps to an Amazing Life. But now we're going to switch gears, Brian, and we're going to talk about It's All About Me.
Well, of course we are, because it's all about me.
The Involved Observer. What an interesting title, and explain what the principles are in this book.
As we were discussing, looking at the chapters in Think, Believe, Receive, we have in our own minds huge amount of unexamined information. They have set the hot buttons for us. They, and I'm using that term consciously, they have told us what we should aspire to. They have told us what we should not aspire to. They have done this from love to protect us. So we have absorbed all of these cues and this information, some indirectly given by example, some given absolutely directly. Sweetheart, I really want you to be happy, but don't set your heart on the stars. Those kinds of things that are given totally from love. But they are in there, and they become, rather than empowering aspects, they become limiting aspects in our lives. Why shouldn't we set our hearts on the stars? We reach for the stars, and who knows what we can get? If we set our sights on just the front end, as far as our eyes can see, well, that's as far as we can get.
So should we, when you say the involved observer, I know, quantum physics says that, and science says that whatever we observe, there are unlimited possibilities in our lives. And it's only when we look at something that it begins to bring itself into our experience. So give us an example of what it would look like to be the involved observer, and how can our listeners do that?
Well, you touch on the science that goes with this, and I included some very hardcore quantum physics concepts in It's All About Me for a reason, because there's a lot of people who are saying, I'd like to believe this, but I want some proof. Well, as spirituality and science continue forward, they're no longer on a divergent path. They are actually coming back together in what they really are. One demonstration. One is the science is done from a physical aspect. The spiritual growth is done within. It's untouchable and unseeable. The truth of the matter is we are seeing science, hard science, empirical science, merging with our practice of spirituality. Out here, I've been hearing the Kaiser Medical Foundation commercials, and they're talking about recognizing the mind and the body as one unit in health. And that is an absolute truth. Oh, wait a minute. A cold is a virus. Yes, that's true. A cold is a virus. The mind, however, sets up a situation where we can attract that virus, or we can go through life while everybody around us has a big box of Kleenex sitting next to them. We can say, it's not mine. Yes, we have physical things. Yes, we have spiritual things, and they work together. And this is where science and spirituality are working together and showing up so much more clearly than people used to believe.
So true. And so if someone or some of the listeners, they might be asking, so how can I become an involved observer? What would I need to do? Does that mean that they would take a look at what they are thinking and feeling and observing their actions? And if so, how do they shift and change that?
That's the wonderful question, Constance. Thank you so much. When we have what we might call a bump in our life, it is a wake-up call. Something is not happening in our lives. That is when we are given the opportunity to take a step back and say, how have I participated in this experience? We can go back to think, believe, receive at this point and say, okay, well, my thought on this was, yet, and my belief about this was, did they match up? Oh, I can see where maybe I went off. That is the involved observer. When we move from taking all these cues that we talked about that have been handed to us, spoon-fed us, lovingly gifted us, and those that we have adopted by ourselves, when we start recognizing those things pop up in our lives and saying, what's that about? Does this serve me anymore? Then we are the involved observer.
So, Brian, give me an example of someone who you know or who you've worked with, and they've used this process to really shift and change their lives.
One of my wonderful dear friends, who's in the book in one of the chapters about expectations and exemptions, talks with me about his work situation. Now, this is a guy who is the sweetest, most kind, thoughtful man I think I have ever met. And he is the first one there when there's a birthday. He's the first one there when there's a get well card to be sent. He's the first one to call and say, how's the new grandchild? All these things. He thinks about them. He cares about them. On the other side of his life, he's about 3 years away from retirement. Mm-hmm. And he's got a boss who is all about the process. My friend is all about people. Mm. The process is the out product of the people. For his boss, the process is the beginning and the end. People are just moving parts. So they're coming from entirely different places. And this sets up a tremendous clash within him to say, how can I work with this guy? I stand behind I will go to the mat for my people. He won't even stand up for me. One person, I'm standing up for 40 people who are in my division. He won't even stand up for me. So what my friend has to do, but has chosen to do, is saying, what is speaking to me about this situation? And that's when in It's All About Me, we talk about expectations and assumptions. I assume my boss, he assumes his boss, is going to recognize him for his outstanding work. So he sets up this assumption, his expectation. Now, his boss is not coming from the same place at all. All the boss cares about is, did my numbers come in? And if they came in high, well, that's how it should be. So my friend has to find a way to recognize he is doing these things because it is his own judgment. It is his own demand upon himself. It has nothing to do with the boss. It has nothing to do with his subordinates. This is a personal choice. And as he stands in that power, he recognizes he made expectations upon somebody else with absolutely nothing to back it up. And he assumes that this is going to happen, and if it doesn't, he's disappointed. So he can get quite beside himself about these things, and he'll come to me and say, Brian, this guy is driving me up the tree, so we'll just sit and walk through it. We'll talk through it. What happened? All right, was this something that was agreed upon before? Well, no, it really wasn't, but I just assume it'll happen. Okay, so that was your assumption. We cannot hold other people responsible for our assumptions. We cannot hold other people accountable for our expectations, no matter how reasonable they might be, and they usually are very reasonable, the disconnect comes in getting angry with ourselves for having made those assumptions and expectations, and then projecting it out on other people because you did not live up to my expectation. Wow, what a tremendous place of disempowerment is to say to somebody else, you did not live up to my expectation. So when we become aware that we're doing this, we can back down from that. Say, well, where did this come from? Why do I think somebody else should live up to my expectation? And we can walk that back and we'll find out there is something around there. There is a hot button that is pushed when an expectation isn't written. Now, if we reach back, we'll wonder, where did that hot button come in? Oh, my dad expected me to know what he wanted from the tool chest before I asked. And I didn't. And I always felt like I was lacking because I could not foretell what it was my dad would want. That made me a bad person. So when somebody else sets that up, I don't go to that person setting it up. I go back to the emotion that comes from my dad being, I felt my dad was disappointed in me because I couldn't predict what he would want. Yeah. So when we go back as the involved observer and recognize why things strike us as they do, we can look at it and say, well, there's that hot button. Does it serve me any longer? And if it doesn't, we just get our little metaphorical wire snips and disconnect it. You've heard, I'm sure, of Kathy Hearn. One of the big teachers and one of the leaders of Science of Mind for many years. Delightful lady, honored to know her. She is quoted as saying, and I hope it's her because I love this quote, said, I may have pressed your hot button, but I didn't install it.
Oh, I love that. And you
Isn't
know what you're
great?
What you're saying, Brian, is so needed because once again, people are looking outside of themselves when really, you know, so much has been just imprinted in our subconscious mind.
You know,
by the age of six, that we're just really oblivious that we're operating out of that belief. So if someone is an involved observer, they lovingly and compassionately take a look at those patterns that they have been repeating over and over again, and then they shift and change their thinking and make a decision that they're going to respond differently.
And please, again, let's remember that many of those implants, many of those memories and default actions serve us beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't. So it's now our conscious choice. Does this serve me? We're really unlikely to look at something that gives us joy and say, now, where did that come from? We're happy with that. We also have to know that this, again, the law of attraction, the universe is not playing favorites. This is not a gotcha game. This is what is always working in our lives. And even the opportunity to come up to somebody and bump against them is the call to us, a gift to us to say, is this something I need to do again? It's not a penalty. It's not a gotcha. It's I always call to myself that which I need to know. If we want more patience, I wish I was a more patient person. Well, I really don't think that the universe is going to wave a magic wand over my head and suddenly I'm going to be blissed out and able to walk through any field of glass without any kind of mental disruption. What I'm more likely to get is people around me who give me the opportunity to practice and recognize how to apply patience and find out patience was never lacking in me. It was my use of patience that I wasn't delving into fully.
So true. So really we can create our days and our weeks
and, I spent the whole chapter about you are the artist. Yes. And again, we're creating
in our lives.
Each moment, we are taking out that little paintbrush and saying, here's the event that's happening right now. Am I going to paint that car slowed down in front of me for no apparent reason with dark colors and angry skies? Or am I going to paint it in neutral colors saying, oh, okay, that car slowed down in me. I don't see the reason, but I'm okay. Our choice, same event, our choice. And it's happening each and every moment right now, now, now.
And so I love this book because I think it really shares and it shows people how to really, I think, be aware of and have a consciousness of that they're co-creating their lives.
Absolutely. Every single moment. And one of the reasons that I so loved, there are a couple of reasons that I love the title, It's All About Me. Which, by the way, I did not create. That was given me at a conference from that absolute perfect storehouse. And some people look at that and say, oh, it's all about me, huh? My, aren't you self-centered? And other people look at it and say, well, of course it's about me. I'm glad finally somebody's writing about it. And other people say, it's all about me. I wonder what that means. The other aspect that I so loved when I was given this full and complete, it's all about me. And I even tried to change the name of the book while it was being written. And it just didn't work. It had to be that. If we break down the acronym, it's all about me, we come up with IAAM. And when we pronounce that, it's I am.
I love
which
that.
Which is our connection with the universal, whether we want to call it God, spirit, first cause, all there is, creative force, it doesn't matter. It brings us back in, I am. Because as we're creating, each thing that follows the phrase, I am, is a declaration of the utmost power. I am happy to be sitting on the phone with Constance and her wonderful family out there. I'm so delighted with that. I can also say, I am tired of sitting around. Each has the same power. How do I want to use it?
Yeah.
So on each page of the book, It's All About Me, at the bottom, and this is secret to just us sitting here, just we mice, is the I am at the bottom of each page. So even people who are not aware of it are practicing a prayer. I am.
I have the book and I just noticed that.
It was there all along.
It was there all along. Well, Brian, how can people reach you? Tell us your contact information, your website. Where can listeners get your books? And are you doing any seminars?
Yes. Let's go to the seminars thing. I haven't anything scheduled right now. I am open, and that's why I have the website, choicefullivingseminars.com, choicefullivingseminars.com, seminars.com. On that website is all my contact information. I have places where you can go and just click the book cover, and it'll take you right to Amazon, and you can order it directly there. The other part of the website is I do usually three blogs a week, and they're all along these same principles, positive thoughts, positive affirmations, suggestions. I can't tell you how to live your life, but through the involved observer process, when these titles come up, look at it and say, wait a minute, what is that about? I don't like that title. That's the one you need to read because it's pushing a hot button. It's inviting you to clear something up. Likewise, if you see a title of a blog and say, oh yeah, I like that, there's an opportunity for you to do the, what button is in me that is made lighting up from seeing something that I like? So there's an opportunity to do it. But I love the blogging because they're 300 words or less, comes out three times a week. You can sign up to have it sent right to you, or you can check into the ChoicefulLivingSeminars.com blog webpage anytime and even catch the last year's worth of material that I put up there.
And you have some great information. I was on your website today reading some of the blogs, and, you know, people could just read your blog for the day and meditate on that.
Exactly.
And let that be their daily meditation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And that's why I want to be in principle, knowing that we are creative, co-creative aspects of this universe, and at our fingertips, even closer than our fingertips, we are exercising the power of the universe in all we do.
Wow. I tell you, this has been so good, and I'm going to strongly encourage all of you to get the book. If I stayed up all night reading his book, you know, it really has to be good. And it really spoke to me, Brian, and it enlightened me more. It gave me insight. And I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing. So we have about 2 minutes. In closing, what would you like to say to people all over the world tonight?
One of the things that we overlook as individuals is the idea that we are creating a better, more enlightened, a higher vibration world in everything we do. We overlook the fact that we are the creative tool of the unlimited. Even with our individual thought, we are creating more, better, better, better. Each and every moment, we are lifting the vibration. So please, 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 even if nobody around you thinks that one person can change the world, you sit there and know one person is the beginning of the change you want to see. You are magnificent. You are perfect. You are whole. And you are a powerful co-creator. I love you.
Thank you, Brian. You're awesome. Thank you so much for being a guest. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. Thank you so much for joining me. You are my family. And as I say every Sunday, remember this: God loves you, I love you, and the best is yet to come. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance will be back next week with another inspirational show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com or send Constance an email at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.